The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is a special edition of The Bears Coaches Show, featuring team president Ted Phillips. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Sitting in for head coach John Fox tonight, team president and CEO Ted Phillips. How you doing tonight, Ted?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm pretty good here for the full hour tonight. Head coach John Fox getting the week off from the program so he and his staff can get ready for the Green Bay Packers on a short week. I don't know who loves short weeks. Maybe after a loss like that, even Coach Fox today's weekly news conference said, you know, it's probably better to get right back at it. But it's tough on players, no question. Some players do like it because they get on the back end of it, some time off. But I don't know. How do you feel about it from your perspective?
I think coming off a loss, it's better to just get right back at it. No time to dwell on the past. Green Bay has always been the most important division rival we have. And it raises the stakes for everyone, ownership on down. Love to beat the Packers. We've been successful there the last two times at Lambeau. So we're looking forward to making it three in a row.
Right. 11th consecutive time a year that you're going to play a primetime game against them. The league knows it. They know itself. It's big. So happens to be on a night the Cubs are going to play a game five, but... You know, it'll be interesting. It's okay. Always Bears-Packers.
Bears can win. Cubs can win. There's plenty of room for two wins that night.
Absolutely. Yesterday's loss stings, no question. Competitive to the fourth quarter, one-point loss, giving up a lead. So there is progress being made, and John mentioned it last week's show. It's not all bad news right now at 1-5. There's individual progress. There's unit progress. It's just a young team feeling its way a little bit. What's the feeling at your level, the executive level, where things stand right now in this season?
Well, obviously, nobody's happy with a one win after six games. You know, it's just it's disappointing. At the same time, you know, you've got you look for progress. You look for progress in individual players. Not an excuse. We've had a lot of injuries. The reason I even mention that is that when you have a young team, we turned it over so quickly, the age of the roster in 2 years, that it'd be nice to have some of the key veterans healthy to help the young players along. We haven't had that luxury too much this year so far. We're seeing progress. And I think the reality is, got two big division games coming up. We came very close the last two games. We haven't been able to finish games. That's been the problem. But the last two, we had fourth quarter leads. And if we were 3-3, nobody would be complaining that we aren't heading in the right direction. So we're close.
Yeah, that's the big thing people ask me all the time, too. Why is that so difficult to finish? Well, there's many different factors, and it's just my perspective on it. But as a young team, when it is crunch time, things change. And you have to learn how to play under that pressure of making the play or having anybody make a play. Or if you're driving in the red zone at the end of a game when the field shrinks, that's when it becomes its most difficult. So that's a learning process, though. I know folks don't want to necessarily hear that at this point, but it is a fact.
There's no doubt about it, and you know, everyone says every win and loss, for the most part, comes down to three or four plays in a game. And when you're not yet, you haven't had that taste of success, you know, you've got to get it. You've got to build on it a couple games in a row, and then it can become second nature.
Right now, not that this matters too much, but to your point, the league is right now at highest level of games going into the fourth quarter. With one score difference in the game. So every game now is pretty much that way around the league. We're here with Ted Phillips, Bears president and CEO, with you until 7:30 tonight here on the Bears Coaches Show. The home record, that continues to be a significant issue, obviously. You know, you sense some growing impatience from the fans and maybe the season ticket holders. What can you tell them right now?
Well, I'm going to tell them, stick with us. I mean, there's nothing more valuable to us and the loyalty of our fans, and they have been great through good times, through bad times. I think most of the fans recognize that we are a younger team now. It might take a little time, home games, you want to have that home field advantage. So we're constantly, you know, trying to tell our fans, you know, help us out there. Help us out. Cheer at the right times. And, you know, that's what makes yesterday's loss so difficult, because we had Jacksonville right up till the end. I think everyone in the building felt that we were going to win that game. And I'm just telling them to hang in there, and they're going to see progress, and they're going to see wins at home and on the road real soon.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned about the roster flip, and really it's been a season and a half, because it started really early in the that's quick. By any stretch, that is really quick. So yet you're trying to win while rebuilding, because there is a rebuild going on. There's no other way to put it. They're in inherent growing pains with that, though. And it's very tough, even from your seat, I'd imagine, or the McCaskies looking at this. You want to do both at the same time. You'd hope that in the future you can continue to win and reload instead of build. You know what I'm saying? So you have a great player that goes down. You got another player who's on that cusp of being another impact player, and you just start that cycle. But that takes repetitive good drafts, repetitive good personnel decisions, and a little luck with health.
No doubt about it. You kind of covered all the factors. You know, after being here 33 seasons, there's never been a season that we've entered into where we didn't have high expectations, believed in the club, obviously with the playoffs as the number one goal. But right now, the silver lining is we're getting the opportunity to see a lot of young players get not only experience, but confidence. And I think when we start to get back some of the veterans who have been hurt in conjunction with the young guys, I think we're going to see a different team and a different attitude.
Pressure. Everybody likes to use that word in different areas and so forth. You've been here a long time. Do you still feel it?
Yeah, you know what? Sports, everyone is a fan. Everyone expects victories now. We all want it. Pressure is there every day. Every year, it doesn't matter what your record is. We could be 5-1, and we're still feeling the pressure week to week. It's just the nature of this business. And if that kind of pressure is too hot to handle, then you're in the wrong business. But the reality is, when you have success after dealing with that kind of pressure, it feels all the better.
Some pleasant surprises, given the injury situation. Guys are getting chances and opportunities, and you quickly think of Cam Meredith. You think of Jordan Howard. You think of Bryce Callahan, all these guys. Some different paths. Callahan undrafted. Cam undrafted. Here he's got back-to-back 100-yard games and 20 catches the last 2 weeks. Those are some of the silver linings.
Not only silver linings, but they're great stories.
Yeah.
You know, you love
all three
to
of
see,
those.
You know, whether they're a high draft pick, low draft pick, undrafted free agent, college free agent. It's great to see some of those guys feel the taste of success as an NFL player. They're only going to help us, hopefully, for years going forward to have a consistently winning team once we get there.
The Bears Coaches Show featuring team president Ted Phillips and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap is back. Hoyer to throw. Over the middle and up, and Meredith inside the 10, inside the 5, and down near the 2. Stumbling down near the 2 to the 1.
And Brian Hoyer made that throw. Cam Meredith, the big catch and run after the catch. Good yardage there. And another 100-yard day for him, and another 300-yard passing day for Brian Hoyer. The first one to have four consecutive 300-yard passing days in a Bears uniform. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studios at Hallis Hall with Ted Phillips. Hoyer also is our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. So quite a stretch here for him, with Jay still recovering from a thumb injury. No timetable yet on his return or availability. How much time is this organization, from your experience over the years and right now with Ryan Pace and John Fox, how much time do you guys spend on quarterback conversation, whether now or in the future, organizational meetings? It seems to be an ever-present thought in every NFL building, but it's just the most important position in sports, so I imagine it's a big conversation piece all the time.
Well, every position. Obviously, Ryan's job is to improve every position on the club, whether it's through free agency or the draft. And so those kinds of conversations take place all the time. In terms of the quarterback, obviously it's a critical position, Jeff. And although I'll say this about Brian Hoyer, he came in a tough spot, but I'll bet he'd give up that record of four 300-yard games if he had his record flipped around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 300-yard passing days don't usually equate to wins and losses. If you look at the records of 300-yard passing days, they're not like 100-yard back. 100-yard backs, you have a very much positive winning record, usually 60-65% of the time. So that equates to winning because you're putting games away at the end of a end of a game in the fourth quarter, and I'm sure that's where they'd like to be.
It's tough to lose, Jay, but Brian has come in, has done a really efficient job moving the team, had a little trouble getting into the end zone, and that's we're not scoring enough points, and that's why we're 1-5. But he hasn't turned the ball over. I think he's distributed the ball well. And so we're happy that we have him while Jay's healing his thumb.
189 pass attempts without a pick, and the offensive line has become pretty good in terms of the continuity now. One snap, I think Josh Sitton left the game. Otherwise, they played every snap, and you see the results. It's better protection. The running game had its struggles yesterday a little bit, but over the course of the game, if you get 75 yards or so, you should be in a position to win the game, which the Bears were.
Yeah, we've clearly we've had to throw the ball a lot the last few games. Love to see that running game. Love to see the balance, and I think we'll get there. You know, when you see players, you know, we have Jeremy Langford out, and Jordan Howard, Kadeem Carey have been carrying the load, and even Kadeem was out for a little bit. So, you know, you get a guy like Jordan Howard who came in, was the number three running back, and now he's stepped up and has done a yeoman's job.
Terrific.
So far, terrific job. And hopefully he'll keep that going. His confidence is sky high, as it should be. And I think that's just one of several positive signs that we're not far away from turning this around.
We'll talk more about Jordan in our next segment here with Bears team president and CEO Ted Phillips. It is a young team, so you don't they come from winning programs most of the time. They are either captains in their team, even the undrafted guys at smaller schools. I think DeAndre Houston Carson was a important captain for 3 years at William & Mary, where he played defensive back and starred on special teams. So they're not used to necessarily losing games repetitively or having losing streaks. Are you concerned, or do you hear anything about the mindset of the team? And I've been asked about this, too, because I go in that locker room. Nobody's hanging heads. I go in that locker room every day, and it's lively. So that's a good sign.
Well, I think the players... they believe in each other. They believe in the coaching staff. You know, we've got a veteran coaching staff. They've had success. The players know that. I think they not only see the vision that the coaching staff has for them, but they believe in it. And so I don't see any problem in the locker room. And again, that's just another positive that, you know, if you have a divided locker room and you're losing games, that's a whole nother issue.
Do you get wind of that
stuff?
We
don't have that. Sure. Yeah. You know, Ryan and I'll talk about it. And,
well, even in the past, I mean, you know the difference.
Yes. Yes. We've seen problems in the locker room that then translate into problems on the field and lack of confidence. But we don't have that. The coaches believe in each other. Coach Fox tells the team every week, you know, I think we're close. You guys have to believe it, and you need to believe it in the heart. And I think we're close there.
When you hear Coach Fox, or if you listen to his week-to-week news conferences, his day-to-day news conferences, he does use a lot of the same language to make his point. And it's true for any head coach. Mm-hmm. That is their that's almost their Bible, so to speak, in terms of what is being said in their weekly interviews and so forth, because it's the same message you're telling the players. Do you find yourself, though, asking some of the same questions that the media asks sometimes?
I try not to. I don't want to be kind of cast as a media guy now, Jeff.
No.
Nothing personal now. no, I really don't. I've over the years, I've learned not to try to, you know, talk to the coach after a game and question why he ran the ball instead of pass the ball. Why did he call that play at the 1 yard line? So I try not to do that. I try to stay positive and give the coach encouragement. He doesn't need me over his shoulder telling him how to run his team.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with Ted Phillips on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Boyer takes turns, gives to Jordan Howard. He lowers his shoulders. He's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. They lead it 9-0 here in the second quarter at Soldier Field.
So the first rushing touchdown of the career of Jordan Howard, his first rushing touchdown and the first receiving touchdown a week prior. Welcome back to the program here with Ted Phillips. So we talked about him a bit at the end of the second segment here, but he is only 21. He's turning 22 in November. He's a quiet kid, but his journey, and I don't know if you've seen the interviews that I've done with him for the Bears rookie show that we had on Fox, and then that we repurposed last week, and then we did another show with him. He's one of these kids that you look in the eye and you know he's genuine, that the humility is real, that what he is after is real, what he's doing for his family name and his late father is real. And I find myself just totally rooting for this kid, because you meet those people along the way in your journey. In my case, 30 years in the business, yours 33. And so it's really gratifying to see this kid. He's a thumper of a running back who's only going to get better.
Hope he has a great career. What an inspiration, from gaining all that inspiration from losing his dad, from being overlooked by the University of Alabama, and then his career at UAB, and then the school's program goes out of existence. You know, talk about overcoming adversity and being a fighter. Great kid. Every team could use 11 of him on the offensive side.
Interesting thing is, you get the kid a couple of 100-yard games, all of a sudden the fantasy football world blows up, and he's one of the faces of your team right now, because this is not a team that is loaded with quote-unquote star players. There are many different players that are going to emerge over time, but there's a lot of role players and guys learning how to play the game, he included. But I asked him, you know, is this a little much for you? And he said, you know, initially, it's like, wow, but he goes, I'm fine. And I do believe it's not too big for him.
Doesn't appear to be.
No.
And I hope some of the other young guys take a page out of his book on how he handles, you know, that instant success as an NFL player.
You were on the opening show of the Bears Coaches Show with Ryan Pace and John Fox right before the season opener. And so everybody was told at that time, at that live event, what exactly this Bears team ultimately you want it to be and what Ryan's vision of it is. And one of them is very physical defense. I think you're seeing signs of that. Even on Sunday, that big hit by Harold Jones, Corte of Allen Hurns of Jacksonville, and Danny Trevathan got in there too. It is a physical defense. They do whack you a little bit. So that's something that's starting to take root, would you say?
It's a great thing, and it's been a cornerstone of Bears teams for years, is having that physical, tough defense that offenses don't want to line up against. And then add in the running game. You know,
right.
It's been a classic staple of Bears successful teams, and I think it needs to be that way. And I'm excited about hopefully getting some of these veteran players back. Hopefully soon we'll get Pernell McPhee back.
Have you spent any time visiting with that man?
No, I really haven't.
In the 2 years, no?
He's
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know. I know you have said that to me.
This guy's unbelievable.
He'll be more of a leader in the locker room when he's playing, and it'll be such a breath of fresh air for the team, and he'll be inspirational and just get everyone riled up the way only he can do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Explosive enthusiasm. He did practice last Friday, so that 21-day clock started then, which means a decision on him returning has to come in that period of time where he goes back to IR. But, you know, I would be optimistic that at some point here he will be coming back.
Hope so. You know, we'll let the medical staff do what they need to do to clear him, and when they do, we'll be excited to have him back on the field.
The Bears Coaches Show, a special edition featuring team president Ted Phillips, is brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, live from Hallis Hall, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
They spread them out. Bears go put pressure on Bortles, leaving the pocket. Hit from behind. Knocks it out. Ball rolling around. Bears recover. Willie Young, the strip sack of Blake Bortles, recovered by the Bears inside the Jacksonville 30-yard line.
Willie Young having himself a nice stretch here, 5 sacks and that forced fumble here in the last 2 weeks, and really enjoying his time playing for the Bears. Welcome back to the program here at Hallis Hall with Bears president and CEO Ted Phillips. So the investment in Willie Young has really been a good one, because he came in here with 6 sacks. So there was some projection on this former 7th-round pick that was brought in from the Detroit Lions, and he's delivered in a big way, over 20 sacks as a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, it's always good to see veteran players get rewarded, be able to stay with the team and then continue to produce at a high level. Love to see him fishing.
Exactly. You know,
right? I mean, how can you not love that?
Keeps it fun and light. It's not degrading the opponent in any way. It's all about Willie. That is Willie, you know? So you break something out. And that's a part of also, you know, when things are really good, something like that becomes even bigger and better for the fans and so forth, because we've had characters in this organization.
No doubt.
And I say that in a positive way, that the fans really relate to and get a kick out of. So.
And he has such great pride in what his ability is. And so I'm glad we rewarded him, and now we're seeing the fruits of that contract.
Another thing I like about Willie, he is not an excuse guy. Every single time he's asked about the situation that the Bears are in with their record, or how this happened or that happened, or even that, in my opinion, questionable penalty yesterday. Apparently did hit the face mask of the quarterback at a critical time of the game. He takes a positive approach to it. He's not sweating it. He's not like, oh, the whole world's ending here. He's trying to stay positive. And I don't even say try. He is positive, and I think that's important for young players.
Yeah, he's a great example for the young players. And He's adding that stability now that we need, and with him and Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman hopefully coming back soon, that defensive line should be reinforced.
All right, let's venture off into different topics here, more on a broader scope here. A lot of publicized coverage, obviously, of what happens on the sidelines during the national anthem. Nothing like that has occurred here with Bears players. How do you feel about that, and what's it say about the players in that locker room?
Well, you know, to my knowledge, there's been nothing said to the team about what they should or shouldn't do. But I think this organization, from ownership on down to the coach, myself, we all have great respect for not just the anthem, but for the flag and what it means. So I love it. I love it when the team on their own is standing together, honoring this country. Doesn't mean there's not problems in the country, but there's, in my personal opinion, there's other forums in which people can express their objections and do something about it. So I'm very proud of this team for standing up and showing the pride and the respect that our flag deserves.
There always is fine lines because players, and they're young kids for the most part, most of them in their early 20s, early to mid-20s, they want to express themselves in various ways, so therein lies the rub with the uniform and the shield and the NFL with strict guidelines on what you can and cannot wear, what you can put on your shoes, what you can't, and so forth. And some players are kind of disappointed in the fines that become part of that. Can you just explain that conformity stance and why it's so important?
Well, you know, NFL is the most popular sport probably in the world. And they have a certain image they want to upkeep, they want to stay true to. And part of that is having a consistent uniform look. So it's really not, I know that some of the players don't like getting fined for uniform violations, but those are the policies. There's a whole lot of policies that probably individual players wish weren't in place. But when you're aware of the policies, you know what the fines are, you have to comply. It's not that big a deal.
Speaking of uniforms, if you haven't watched Thursday Night Football yet, you'll notice, what do they call it at the end? The
color rush.
The color rush. Well, Green Bay will be in all white, which is interesting, given their green and yellow colors, as Tom likes to say, not green and gold, green and yellow. And the Bears will be pure blue. It's an interesting concept. How does it look? I haven't seen them. What do you think?
I've seen pictures. I haven't seen the whole look. I like the traditional uniforms. Thank you very much. And I think we have as great a uniform that's just classic as any in the league.
No doubt.
The Bears Coaches Show with Ted Phillips and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Bortles in the pocket. Nowhere to go. Fires over the middle. Low, and it is intercepted. Tracy Porter up and out of the end zone. 5-10 to the 15 to the 20. Near the 23. Bears have swiped Bortles in the end zone. Huge takeaway, huge defensive stand.
On the opening drive for the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, Tracy Porter, career interception number 13. Welcome back to the program here with Ted Phillips with you until 7:30 tonight. I want to touch on concern, if there's any, from the league at all, from what you've heard. And there's owners' meetings coming up here this week. You'll be headed down to Houston. What people are saying are some declining TV ratings here in the early season.
I guess my quick answer to that question would be it's early. And I think that one of the unique features so far this year has been the presidential election. I think that has had some impact. There's no way of really knowing until you have go through the rest of the season and see what the pattern is. But in my opinion, probably the biggest reason could be that the millennials, the younger kids, the younger fans on their mobile devices, distracted, having other entertainment options, streaming games. I think all of that probably has somewhat of an impact. But even with those declines, Jeff, the NFL games still have the highest ratings of any of the, pretty much, I think, any of the network shows. So that still speaks to the strength of the NFL brand. I don't see it continuing as a downward trend. I really don't, but time will tell.
Some say also, the critics say that the quality of the game is not where it used to be either. Is that ever something you hear about at NFL meetings as a concern from the league, which, you know, promotes another question that I have for you about the potential of a developmental league for players potentially? Because, for example, veterans, because of the salary cap and because of the collective bargaining agreement, sometimes they get left out a little bit. The veteran that probably could still play, but the push towards a younger roster helps the budget a little bit.
So a couple things. So I think the league has more parity than they've ever had. And whether or not some of the individual games aren't as competitive, I think they're competitive, but the reality is you can't pick and choose which games are going to end up close on network, on primetime TV or not. In terms of your developmental question, Ryan and I have talked about it a little bit. I think our feeling is that we would rather not see a developmental league. We'd rather see an increase in the practice squad, maybe a little lessening, limiting restriction of the rules on who can be eligible. Because then you have players who are in your system with your coaches and your strength coaches and your athletic trainers knowing the Bears' way of doing business as opposed to another coach with another league that really isn't in tune with what the Bears need.
Makes sense.
To develop players.
First guy I think of in that is, for example, Devontae Hurst. He's been here several years.
Yep.
I consider him a part of the regular roster because he's up and down a lot, but he's still learning to play. In this case, he's starting to learn to play safety as well. And he becomes a valuable support vehicle for this team, given injuries and whatnot, and still learning how to play the game. So
no doubt.
You're doing it within your own system.
Yeah, and I think that seems to be the way, at least recently, the league seems to be going. As you now have 10 practice squad players, so hopefully that'll continue, and that's how we'll be able to have a little stable of developmental players.
You mentioned the millennials and the growing digital shift by the consumer.
Yes.
They get content in a variety of ways based on their own lifestyle, schedule, whatnot. I keep hearing this new term. In fact, Greg Miller, our producer, I think, has said it, cable cutting or something like that. I don't know. But it's something you have to weigh as an organization and as a sport and as a business in the future on how to reach everybody and how to do it.
I thought you were going to tell me how I can cable cut because my bills are way too high for that triple play. But that's something we work on all the time. We're looking at how do millennials and different segments of fans experience the Bears. Not everyone can go to the game. So we're constantly looking at how we can make the social media experience better for fans You can't forget about those young fans because they are going to experience NFL football and the Bears in ways that we haven't even thought of yet.
You have to look far in the future, don't you, to stay ahead of it?
You do. You know, people ask me, well, is your strategy for the club short-term or long-term? And I say yes. because you can't forget the short term, but you have to have your eye on the long term. What that means in terms of fan experience in the stadium, how fans want content for the NFL, and at the same time, you need to, it's kind of like being on the field. You want to win now, and you want to have sustainable success for the future.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
I think you remind yourself, you know, it's a long season. We're not even halfway through. You know, you bring up examples. You know, a team a year ago, Kansas City Chiefs started 1-5 and they made the playoffs. So all those things are possible, but if you lay down your sword, not so much.
That's Bears head coach John Fox from earlier today here at Halas Hall, addressing the media before departing and getting ready to game plan the Green Bay Packers Thursday night at Lambeau Field. Welcome back in our remaining moments with the pinch hitter tonight in the postseason vernacular. Ted Phillips in for John Fox. You don't know how happy he is right now, first of all, right? He's busy, though.
No problem, coach.
No problem. He did say it's very exciting to play the Packers, period. And on a short week after that type of loss yesterday, which we touched on early in the program. So, you know, I heard him in the lunchroom today. He's optimistic. He has a bounce in his step, doing what he always does. So it doesn't feel good when you're a veteran coach starting a season 1-5. But you get into the division here now in the next couple of weeks. So see what happens.
Two big games at Green Bay, home against the Vikings, both on primetime. So no better way to turn your season around than the have some success in those two games.
From your recollection, what did that win Thanksgiving night in Green Bay last year do for that coaching staff? Because that, by far, is the biggest win they've had here in the year plus.
No doubt. And when you can beat a rival like Green Bay and do it on enemy territory, it just builds your confidence. And they know how important it is, not just to our fan base, but to ownership and to everyone here. So it's a big lift of spirit for everyone.
At a time in a sports town that's rabid, and we love this town because of it, Cubs obviously are drawing crazy attention right now, Blackhawks as well. They continually are growing their success. Aside from the winning, how do you keep everybody that you need to engage with your brand engaged during this period of time when you're trying to get things going in the right direction?
Well, you know what? When we talk about appealing to sponsors, we never talk about wins and losses. I mean, a lot of the sales pitches that get done, they don't talk about wins and losses. They talk about what the Bears mean to the city, the loyal fan base, the crossover of fans who are Bears fans and also fans of the other sports teams. And I think for the most part, we've had a lot of success doing that because people understand the power of the Bears brand and what it means to the city of Chicago, what it means to the NFL, what it means to their own brand. So we're pretty proud of that you can kind of sustain strong business relationships without worrying about wins and losses. Obviously, when you win, it's better.
Aside from all that, winning, and what do you worry about?
What do I worry about?
Yeah.
I worry about, how are we going to have sustainable success? I'm very envious of teams, well, there's several of them, but like the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL, who always seem to always be in the mix every year. We constantly talk about it on the field, off the field. How do we get to be that kind of an organization? And so that's what I worry about. That's what keeps me up at night. It's what I keep working hard at every day, along with the rest of the staff.
Are there ways to do it other than the obvious and just having the great talent? I mean, that's also a process. What other ways to make an organization great?
Well, you know, because not everyone can directly impact what happens on the field. So we try to have great facilities. We try to be the best at everything we can do, from the facilities to how we treat our employees, how we pay them, how the benefit package that we have, our work environment. If our facilities are great, people want to come here, they want to stay, they want to work hard, coaches, players, staff alike. So that's what we try to do.
To the stadium, the Den, which I had not been last year. I went to
the Midway.
It. Or the Midway.
It's called the Midway.
Okay, the Midway.
Yep.
Okay. Ventured in there, and I was shocked. I hadn't had any time to look at it. It looks fantastic. What has been the recognition of that from your season ticket holders? It's on the west side of the stadium, behind sections 136 and 138, if you haven't checked it out. It looks tremendous. Has it been well received?
It's a great spot. We need to promote it more, so thanks for bringing that up, because I think a lot of fans don't know that it exists, or it's a little bit too far for some of them. But for the people on the west side and the mezzanine level, it's a great higher end food and beverage venue. It's conditioned space, so in the cold games, it's a great place to go to get out of the cold. There's restrooms there, and there's new upgraded food. So it's a great area for fans to check out. They can come and go as they want.
What time is it open when the gates open?
Yeah, it's open pregame, and it's open during the game, and it's open postgame.
Okay, very good. Do you know how long postgame?
At least an hour after the game ends.
Okay, the in-stadium entertainment and how it's presented. And the only reason I bring it up is because Greg Miller's a big part of that. Yes, of course. But, you know, you go to these other stadiums, and I remember, and I'm not going to say who, but I turned to somebody and said, it just doesn't seem like a football game. Like, there's nothing going on. Not at Soldier Field. I'm saying just visiting where we visited recently. And it just seemed very antiseptic, and I don't know, just, and sometimes it's too much. It's so loud. How important is that, and why has that become such a big part? I mean, everybody does something different. Or sometimes when it really syncs up well with your organization, you start stealing ideas, I'm sure, from everybody else because it works for that fan base. But it seems to be a quite important thing nowadays.
Well, you want to be able to have a unique experience for your fans in the stadium because you want your fans to keep coming to the stadium because the at-home experience with big screen TVs and the red zone and Sunday ticket make it attractive to stay home. So we do everything we can to make the fan experience unique, something you can't get at home. And we think the environment at Soldier Field, from the sight lines to the entertainment, is great. And go Bears.
Go Bears. Packers on Thursday night. We'll see you up there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Trent.
Enjoyed it. Join Bears Care in raising funds for programs supporting Chicago area breast cancer patients and their families. Purchase your Real Bears Fans Wear Pink shirt at chicagobears.com/pink. For Ted Phillips, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Our pregame gets underway at 4:30, kickoff 7:30 from Lambeau Field on Thursday night. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.